Okay, so if you have a Bible tonight, listen to me. Today, if you have a Bible today, if you would please start flipping over, start swiping over, press the button, whatever you've got to do, and go over to Nehemiah chapter 10. Chapter 10. Man, we've got three more chapters in this awesome series we're doing in Nehemiah. Three more, and that's it. But they're the best ones, you know. The best ones are always at the end. The best ones are always towards the end, and so we're drawing near to the end of this study in this series of Nehemiah. And if you're just kind of coming in this morning and joining us, we're doing this exploration of Nehemiah. Because Nehemiah, this guy, way back long ago in the Old Testament, right, was charged with a special vision, a special mission to go into his hometown and rebuild the city. And the first thing is he wants to rebuild the wall. And so he's kind of got this vision, this mission of God to go and rebuild the wall around his city, kind of go back to the place where he grew up and kind of just pour himself into it. And along the way, what we discover, though, is that the whole vision about him going back to his hometown wasn't necessarily about the rebuilding of the wall. It really was about the rebuilding of the people. And it was about bringing them back to a relationship with God. Because you remember, we've been talking about that, you know, they in the midst of rebuilding this wall, they kind of stumble upon the Word of God, their Bible at the time, okay? And they just kind of, after a long, long time of being separated from hearing the Word of God, from hearing it, they were just blown away by it. And a lot of things happen in chapter 9 that are just amazing. But I just want to tell you something this morning. I'm just going to confess to you some things, okay? I'm just going to just be as transparent as possible with you this morning. That I am a neglectful person. I am a neglectful person. I tend to neglect things, you know, over time. Right now, I will probably go ahead and tell you that the most neglected thing in my life right now, I know what you're probably thinking. No, it's not my weight. It's not that. It's my vehicle. My vehicle, my little Isuzu Trooper. I don't know if you've seen my vehicle, okay, but I've just neglected it. I've just kind of let it go. It hasn't been really important to me, and I've just kind of neglected my truck. Like the window, the passenger side window, the thing, like it doesn't roll. Have you ever had a window that doesn't roll down? It's the most annoying thing. Like I have snow coming in through there, I'm driving, and I try to put tape on it. You know, because it's just like, I'm putting that off. That's just going to happen later, right? You know, and so, yeah, the window isn't working. I mean, I've got the paint on it. It just looks crummy. It needs to be repainted. My check engine light's been on for I don't know how long. I hear that's illegal. That's illegal here in New Jersey or something. You'll get arrested or get taxed, which is just about the same thing. I'm sorry, I love New Jersey. I really do. And so there's these things that have been, oh yeah, and I've been here a year. I've got to get a New Jersey tag. I do. I mean, come on, you know. I'm just being, can I be upfront with you? Can I just be myself this morning with you? It's been a year, and my it's due to expire this month. I got to get a new one, and so does my wife's, and so. And we got these little lights coming on. The oil light came on. And I looked at, you know, the little sticker at the top of the window that says it's time, you know, it tells you. Well, mine is way past. And so I'm like, I got to get an oil change. Okay. Well, I just swung by Advanced Auto Parts the other day. I'm not plugging in. And I just said, you know, the next best thing to an oil change is let me buy a couple quarts of oil. And let me just put it in there. And so I've just been neglecting my vehicle lately. It's just not on the priority list right now. It just really isn't. And I think some of you can relate to that. Some of you can relate to just neglecting things over a period of time. Like I found some things in the internet that that definitely are, like, you can definitely neglect your facial hair, right? Mike Grove, we're not talking to you in any way, shape, or form. You could neglect, like, teenagers, like, your room. If your room looks anything like that picture over there to the far right, then you've been neglecting your room for a while. Okay, or maybe you've just neglected your pet. You just keep feeding it and feeding it and feeding it, right? Like, we've all been there where we've just been kind of neglectful. And what we want to talk about this morning is that we're no different than the people that God talks about in the Bible. We're not. We're very similar. We haven't changed much. And in this book of Nehemiah, we discover that there are just some things that we just cannot neglect. Especially here, especially in chapter 10, we see that there's just some things that just can't go neglected, right? And so, if you're in chapter 10, hopefully you are. If not, just kind of share with somebody there. We're not going to read all those names, okay? We're just not going to spend our time there. But what I do want you to understand, what I do want you to just kind of be aware of, and I want to illuminate this, is that there are some specific people that took the charge in this chapter. Number one, there says that Nehemiah the governor. And then if you skip down to verse 9, it says the Levites, those that were the priests, right? And then it says in verse 14, the leaders of the people. Okay, these are all the leaders of the people. These are all the people that were charged to be leaders of this group of folks rebuilding Jerusalem, right? So all these leaders are stepping forward. And then we're going to pick up right there in verse 28. It says the rest of the people, priests, Levites, gatekeepers, singers, temple servants, and all who separated themselves from the neighboring peoples for the sake of the law of God, together with their wives and all their sons and daughters who are able to understand, all these now join their brothers, the nobles, and bind themselves with a curse and an oath to follow the law of God given through Moses, the servant of God, and to obey carefully all the commands, regulations, and decrees of the Lord our God. We promise not to give our daughters in marriage to the peoples around us or take their daughters for our sons. And when the neighboring peoples bring merchandise or grain to sell on the Sabbath, we will not buy from them on the Sabbath or on any holy day. Every seventh year we will forego working the land and will cancel all debts. We assume the responsibility for carrying out the commands to give a third of a shekel each year for the service of the house of our God. For the bread set out on the table, for the regular grain offerings and burnt offerings, for the offerings on the Sabbaths, new moon festivals, and appointed feasts, for the holy offerings, for sin offerings, to make atonement for Israel, and for all the duties of the house of our God. We, the priests, the Levites, and the people, have cast lots to determine when each of our families is to bring to the house of our God at set times each year a contribution of wood to burn on the altar of the Lord our God, as it is written in the law. We also assume responsibility for bringing to the house of the Lord each year the first fruits of our crops and of every fruit tree, as it is also written in the law. We will bring the firstborn of our sons and of our cattle, of our herds and of our flocks to the house of our God, to the priests ministering there. Moreover, we will bring to the storerooms of the house of our God, to the priests, the first of our ground meal, of our grain offerings, of the fruit of all our trees and of our new wine and of oil. And we will bring a tithe of our crops to the Levites, for it is the Levites who collect the tithe in all the towns where we work. A priest descended from Aaron is to accompany the Levites when they receive the tithes, and the Levites are to bring a tenth of the tithes up to the house of our God, to the storerooms of the treasury. The people of Israel, including the Levites, are to bring their contributions of grain, new wine, and oil to the storerooms where the articles for the sanctuary are kept, and where the ministering priests, the gatekeepers, and the singers stand. stay. Now, listen to this last sentence statement here of this chapter. We will not neglect the house of our God. They said, enough. We've neglected the house of God way too long. And we're not going to do it anymore. Man, I don't know about you, but that convicts me as a leader. That convicts me as a minister. And it makes me say, you know, Neil Carlos, where have I been neglectful in the house of God? Where? And I could probably pinpoint a bunch. And so this morning, I envision all the leaders of the Pittman Road Church. I envision all the people of the Pittman Road Church standing together, shoulder to shoulder, saying, no way, we're not going back. No way, no more neglect of the house of God. No way, no way, no way, because something big is coming. Something good is happening and God is doing something here. And so there's no way we're going back. No way we're neglecting the house of God anymore. That's what I see. Because there's something big going on here. Because this house is God's house. And this house is your house. This house is God's house. And this house is also your house. I hope that's sinking in. So a lot of times we maybe come to church and we go, oh, that's God's stuff, and that's for them, and that's those, and that's that, you know. And this is God's house, yes, but it's your house as well. There's something special and very important happening here in this place, in the church. And I wish I could describe it to you, but you know what I want to do? I want somebody to help me describe to you the importance of what happens in the house of God. And I'm going to give credit to where credit is due. Keon Kleinweber sent me this video last week, and I was just blown away by it. And I said, man, I've got to share this because this is what I'm talking about. This is the house of God. This is the church, and this is what's happening in the church right now. And I want you to just listen to this brother
described
it.
People often say to me, they say, J. John, you know, what do you do? It's always very difficult to know what to say. Because if I say to you that I'm a reverend, which I am, that conjures up certain images in people's minds as to what I might be. So I like to be a little bit creative in telling people what I do. I sat next to this lady on an aeroplane at Heathrow Airport. And I said, hello. And she said, well, hello. And I said, where are you going? And she says, I'm going to Singapore. Then she said to me, where are you going? I said, I'm going to Australia. I said, what do you do? So she told me. Then she said, what do you do? And I said, well, I work for a global enterprise. She said, do you? I said, yes, I do. I said, we've got outlets in nearly every country of the world. She said, have you? I said, yes, we have. I said, we've got hospitals and hospices and homeless shelters. I said, we do marriage work. We've got orphanages. We've got feeding programs, educational programs. I said, we do all sorts of justice and reconciliation things. I said, basically, we look after people from birth to death, and we deal in the area of behavioral alteration. She went, wow! And it was so loud, her wow, loads of people turned around and looked at us. She says, what's it called? I said, it's called the church. Isn't it? If we are a follower of Jesus, wow, then we are part of a global enterprise But not only is it global, it's intergalactic, because it includes everyone that's gone before us.
Wow.
And so, yeah, exactly, yes. That's the church, man. That's God's house. And I'm telling you, what happens in God's house has eternal consequences. It has life and death consequences, man, for people right now, for you right now, for people outside these walls and in your communities, for our children, for generations to come. The house of God is incredibly important. And I love the way he just kind of wrapped it all up, you know, this enterprise that's all over the world and doing great things. And this is the church. This is the house of God. And something incredibly important is happening here. I hope you believe that. God's house is to be a light in the world and hope in the world and grace and truth in the world. It's supposed to bring peace and justice to those who are suffering. It's supposed to bring food to the hungry and water to the thirsty. And it's supposed to bring clothes to those who are not clothed. It's supposed to bring dignity to those who, well, are seeing very little of that. This is the house of God, right, folks? This is the house of God. It's the light of the world. It's the beacon on a hill. It's the salt of the earth. And it can't go neglected. It just cannot. God has separated us for a very special purpose. God has been separating the church from the world for a very specific purpose. Now, some of you say, well, yes, he's been separating us from the world, and separating us from the world means that we're not going to look like the world. We're not going to interact with the world. We're just not going to be like the world. We just need to stay away from the world. That couldn't be further from the truth. God has separated us from the world for a very specific purpose. Separate. Another word for that is, well, holy, to be set apart for something special, for a special mission. But I think I find ourselves sometimes not separating for a specific mission to the world. Instead, I find us imitating the world and adopting the world's behavior, adopting the world's beliefs, adopting the world's lifestyle and being okay with that. And we can't be okay with that in the house of God. We cannot be imitating the world and be the house of God. I also find ourselves not just imitating, but isolating. Well, we just got to stay away from those people. They're sinners. They're homeless. They should get a job. They should have stopped drinking by now. They should get off welfare. Jesus never isolated himself from the least of these. Instead, he says, you know, in John chapter 17, I think we have that text up there. He says, my prayer is not that you take them out of the world, speaking of us, but that you protect them from the evil one. He's not in the business of us imitating or isolating, but he is in the business of us separating from the beliefs, the worldviews of those who are not Christians. Because we believe differently about injustice and hunger. We believe differently about those in need. We believe differently about people that need our help. We have to if we're going to be the house of God. We have a responsibility because this house is God's house. This house is your house. You know what? And your role is incredibly vital to this house. Your role is incredibly vital to this house right here today. I want you to say something with me. I want you to go ahead and say and repeat after me. My role is incredibly vital to this house. It is. Let me ask you, do you know your role yet? Do you know what role you play? We know what role Chris is playing right now. I just want to squeeze his cheeks, I'm telling you. Not Chris, of course. Do you know what role you play in this house today? Or like let me just step on some toes. You just come here on Sundays and you come and sit down and you just get fed and you get fed and you get fed and you walk out and you just go, you know, till next Sunday and come back in and just get fed. Do you just show up every month, you know, once a month or, you know, once every 2 months or once every 3 months? And I know if you work, and I get that, there's you know, different complexities behind that. I get that. But what is your role here? What is your role in this house? I hope you know what it is. I hope you found out what it is. I hope you're trying to discover what it is. What's your contribution to this house? How can I give? There are people here right now that give 100, even 150% of their energy and their time and everything they've got to this house. And there are some people that are barely giving 10% of what they've got to this house. And I want you to understand, I'm not talking about monetary stuff. I'm not talking about money, you know. So if you're joining us for the first time, don't be like, oh, man, this preacher's talking about money. No, it's not about money. It's about who it is that you're coming in here to be in this house. They're givers and they're getters. What's your role? Discover your role here in this house. Find out where it is that you belong in this house. You know, plug in with Jen and Aaron, you know, and with Tim and Melody as they help to allow our kids and our teenagers to really experience God's love and know God's love a little bit better. You know, they've got different activities that allow that to happen. You know, they're planning an Easter egg hunt with an Easter bunny. And I don't know who the Easter bunny is going to be. Aaron had asked me to be. I said, I don't know about that. But, I mean, you know, but get with them and ask them, hey, how can I help? Especially if you have a child that's part of that ministry. How can I help? How can I be part of that? You know, you want to figure out how you can help people that don't know Christ, who are maybe not doing as good as you are, who maybe don't have a home, to be able to have a home for a week so they could experience God's love here in this place. Well, you know, hook up with John Ashton and Family Promise. We got a Family Promise week coming up, man. Just hook up with them and say, hey, how can I help? How can I give some of me towards this ministry? Because God's house cannot go neglected. And there are many other things that are going on. Audio visual room, nurseries, classes that need to be taught, marriages that need help, college students and young adults that need to be plugged in. I mean, what is your role in this house? Please find out. Please find out. Because if we're going to be the global enterprise we're supposed to be, we all have to be in. It's got to be all in. It's got to be. What would the Pittman Road Church look like if we were all in? What would that look like? If everyone was all in, figuring out their role, serving somebody, pouring into somebody's life, what would that look like? I think of one word: unstoppable. Unstoppable. Speaking of houses, we've been on this house hunt for about a year now, my family and I, over a year, I think. And we've seen all kinds of houses. Big ones, small ones, nice ones, not so nice ones. But, you know, I really thought we had found the house a couple months ago. It was right here off of Pittman Avenue. And my heart was set on it. I was just like, man, this is it, baby. This is it. This is the house. This is the one. And so the more we began to discover about this house, and the more we talked with the real estate agent, come to find out this house had been empty for about 3 years. Been neglected for 3 years, this house. And I'm telling you, man, it was just, the house on the outside was beautiful. It was a beautiful house. Beautiful house. But on the inside, like you walk in and the first thing you can tell right away is there's a smell in the house because there's mold, like, you know, just about everywhere. And, you know, things are, wallpaper's peeling and it's cruddy and it's just, carpets are terrible and paint's terrible. And whew. We didn't move in. We didn't move in. It was too neglected. But listen, just hear me out here. I know someone who wants to move into a house, no matter how neglected it is. And his name is Jesus. You see, this house, this place, drywall and steel and wood and carpet, really doesn't mean anything when you compare it to the hearts of people. And I remember Jesus saying in John 14. I remember him saying, if you love me, you're gonna obey what I say. And my Father will love you, and we will come and we will make our home in you. This is God's house. You're God's house. He doesn't care how neglected it's been. Some of you are saying, you know, well, Carlos, if you just knew what's going on inside, the resentment that I have, the bitterness that I have, the hurt that I have, the pain that I hold. Carlos, you just don't understand the regret that I have, the shame that I have, the guilt that I have. Carlos, if you just don't understand, because if you would know the sin that I have. Carlos, you just don't know. I don't need to know. Because he knows already. And he wants to move in. He wants to move in. Yes, he wants to move into this house, the Pittman Road Church, even more. But even more than that, he wants to move in to your heart. He's standing at the door knocking, waiting to come in, waiting to sit with you and eat with you. Because you're important. And no matter how broken you feel you are, no matter how worthless you feel you are, no matter how neglected you think you've been neglecting your spiritual walk, he doesn't care. He wants to move in anyway. He does. Because you're his house. Church, this house is God's house. This house is your house. No more neglect. No more going back. Find your role. Plug in with somebody. Plug in with somebody. We're gonna sing a song here in just a little bit, and if you have a need for maybe a prayer request, something's heavy on your heart and you want us to pray for you as a church, you can come on up here. There'll be some folks up here that can help you with that. If you got any questions about who Jesus is and want to know more about him, you can come up and do that as well. I'm going to lead us in a prayer here in just a second, but before I do that, I want to say this to you, church. I want to say this to you, guest, friend. May the Lord bless you. May he keep you. May his light shine upon you. May he smile on you. May his peace be on you. go in peace. Let's pray. Father, we come before you as people who are neglectful. From relationships to material possessions to even our own bodies, we neglect. And Father, we pray for forgiveness this morning. We pray more importantly, Lord, according to what we've read in your word this morning in Nehemiah 10, Lord, we want to pray that you ask forgiveness over the neglect of your house. God, please pour mercy and forgiveness over us, Lord. And help us to figure out ways in which we can change things, Lord, and do differently, Father, and find our role and get involved because we're vital to what goes on in this house, God. Lord, thank you for starting the church. Thank you so much. And Lord, we pray, Father, that we may be mindful, Lord, of the people that don't know you and can know you through the church, Lord, whether it be family members, friends, neighbors, the people most closest to us even. Lord, be with us today, Lord. We love you and we thank you for Jesus. We pray in his name. Amen. Please stand.